even back in the, you know, the late 90s, you were very young with the NWO and when that, all that was happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I had a single parent, so basically Stone Cold Steve Austin raised me. That's how I look at it. And, those were my formative years. I would fucking walk around the schoolyard trying to act like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nice.
Teachers didn't like it when I crashed two Coors Lights together on the Jungle Gym. But
that was like, it was a great time to be like a little kid. You go up to a teacher and tell them to suck it. They don't know what the hell's going on.
I got two words for you.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight because I have a feeling I need to be the sober one on the show. And while we seem to be losing a player each week, there also seems to be some highlights that are, if nothing else, retweet-worthy. Of course, we'll have to wait to see how it all translates on the field, but until then, we'll enjoy all the speculation with a little bit of it tonight. We got a special guest joining us. Maybe you'll hear from him later. Maybe you'll hear from him later. Talking some Saints hype, Benson family drama, some NBA talk. Apparently there was some big game play earlier this week. And, of course, the latest episode of Game of Thrones after we finish the show. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
We'll go with a one right now. I've got a cocktail, and when I finish this, I'll probably open a couple of beers. So I'm going to try to stick around a two or a three and not try to get past that.
All right, you're going to try to be good. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero.
Good for you. I was worried that you might actually drink tonight.
Nah.
All right.
You can't ever get your hopes up for that because it's never going to happen. If it happens, just be pleasantly shocked.
If it happens and I'm a zero, then I'm just going to crack open a beer and start drinking. Okay. So, yeah, we got a few headlines to go through. We got some NBA talks. So let's jump right into headlines. Maybe our guest will join us if we say something interesting.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And so the first headline, real quick and easy one, just knock this one out. Jamarcus Sanford is on IR.
He was going to be a backup safety, probably special teams guy, if he was even going to make the team with Hassan and Harper. But I would guess now it pretty much assures, not that it wasn't before, but it's, I would think this will assure Harper's spot on the team.
All right. Not much else to say on that one, so let's
go. Yeah, not really a lot.
I guess I'm glad it's him and not Vaccaro or...
There it is. Who did that?
Guys talking about Sanford and Son.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
That guy. This must be Alan Michael joining us from The Game 103.7. Welcome to the show. Alan, what's your number?
I am at a two right now. A two. Straight vodka. No ice.
Oh, seriously? Shit.
Seriously? Don't you have to work tomorrow morning?
Yeah, but I don't have to get up till like 6:30. I used to have to wake up at 3:30. I have best life now.
6:30 and he's drinking vodka.
Hey, I gotta get up at 6 and I'm drinking whiskey.
Well, there you go.
There's a U.S. soccer game coming on, too, so I feel like I need to propel us against the Argentinians.
We got to watch that, too.
Well, Damon won't watch it, but we will.
Yeah. All right, so I tell you what, let's interrupt the show, and it was perfect time to do that with the Jamarcus Sanford, since we're not going to talk about him, we're going to talk about you, Alan. We're going to run you through the gauntlet so that the listeners can get to know you a little bit better, and then when you talk, then you'll have a little more street cred.
Sweet.
All right, do it. First question, how did you become a Saints fan?
Well, I'm not a Saints fan. I'm a Steeler fan. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But when I was deciding to move somewhere to be on the radio, I looked at Louisiana. I said, you know what? I hate every team in the NFL, but I do like black and gold. The Saints really don't bother me whatsoever as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. I could tolerate covering them all season long. And... honestly, I thought getting Ricky Williams was like the greatest move ever. I love Ricky Williams. So since then, I haven't had a problem with the Saints. Mike Ditka was the coach there once upon a time. And they're probably of all 31 other teams in the NFL. I don't do that second favorite team bullshit or my NFC team. But the Saints bother me the least of any other NFL team.
I take that as a ringing endorsement.
I was going to say Pittsburgh was my favorite AFC team, but since you said that's a bunch of bullshit, then fuck
it. I don't know. I just don't like when people – yeah, you got one team, right? You got to have one team. Everybody. I mean, there's teams that just don't bother you, especially if they're in the other conference. And I honestly think that if you're not like a Ravens, Browns, or Patriots fan – or Ravens, or did I say Ravens? Yeah, I did that. I'm 2-0 already.
But
if AFC team, you probably have no problem with the Steelers, or you might actually like the Steelers because they are the most likable team in the NFL.
I do like them, and it's funny you say the black and gold. That's kind of part of what I like about them too. Is it's black and we're kind of. I've always wanted to have a Saints Steelers Super Bowl because it'd be the black and gold bowl.
Oh, it'd be so badass. Especially since I'm colorblind.
All right, next question then. What's your favorite we kind of know this one. I'm going to guess it's Ricky Williams. Your favorite player from yesteryear from the Saints?
Oh.
Pre-Sean Payton era.
Pre-Sean Payton.
Or maybe Damon, Jason, you want to let him pick a Pittsburgh player? This is a Dome Patrol podcast.
You know what? How about Fred McAfee?
Okay.
He did have a couple seasons in Pittsburgh.
He's on the Steelers and the Saints.
Whoa, well done. Nice save.
I think doesn't he still – Damon would know this. Does he work for the organization?
Yes, he still does. Yeah, he's like a position, I guess they all have him now, but where he, sort of helps the players transition to, from college to pros and,
He does kind of what The Rock does on Ballers?
Not even close to what The Rock does on Ballers.
No. He's like – teach these guys how to keep all their hoes in check and don't tweet anything stupid.
He's basically trying to teach him how to not be Junior Gallette.
Ah, there you go. He's funny, too. You ever met him in person? Guy tells jokes all the time.
He's my favorite Saint of yesteryear.
There you go. So then who's your favorite player from the Peyton era? And you cannot say Drew Brees.
Not Drew Brees. I'm going to go with Scott Fujita.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Because he has kind of he obviously hates the league. He hates Roger Goodell as much as I do. And that whole ordeal was so bogus. And he was at the forefront. I like how he's outspoken. He's not a real talented player, but he overachieved in his career. A guy like Scott Fujita.
Yeah. I also kind of like what Scott Shanley's done post career too with his tweeting. All right. So then how do you prepare for game day?
Oh, man. Yeah, well, it depends. Sometimes if it's like a real serious game, if we have the Bengals coming up, I'll wake up early. I'll work out early so that I could start cooking, and I'll make something ridiculously unhealthy.
As is, of course, the tradition.
And then I'll start drinking as early as possible. And, when I was in Pittsburgh, my family's had season tickets since 1969-ish. I'd get to go to games, and you'd be tailgating from, for a 1 o'clock game, tailgating at 7 in the morning.
Oh,
so you'd be out there drinking, hanging out, bullshitting. Now I'm at home and I don't put a shirt on. I sit at my desk. I tinker with my fantasy lineups and change that a couple hundred times. And, I basically
realize that you put the wrong guy on the bench.
And I definitely am not drunk by the start of the game. That's like my main goal every weekend. Don't be drunk before the game starts.
Oh, so that's how you do it.
Okay. I want to get drunk while I'm doing shots for every touchdown. That's my plan.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't ever always work, but that's what I aim for.
Right. Have you been to a Saints game yet?
Oh, no. The only time I was at the Superdome was for WrestleMania 30.
Nice. I was there.
That
was fun.
What a night. I'm not even joking. Probably the best weekend of my life. That was my first time in New Orleans. It was the most fun. I was telling you guys before we started, I have a wrestling podcast, Cheap Plug, Brainbuster Radio. Mm-hmm. And we every WrestleMania, we kind of make a little movie. So I don't know if you ever heard of heavy metal parking lot.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
It's a very short documentary from the 80s. And it's some guys were in a parking lot and they filmed all the crazy metal heads outside. And it's in Maryland before a Dokken and Judas Priest concert. It's 16 minutes long. It is like nonstop one-liners. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see in your goddamn life. So at WrestleMania 29, we made Pro Wrestling Parking Lot. At WrestleMania 30, we filmed a documentary on Bourbon Street called Chaos in the Crescent City. It was the most fun time ever, just filming drunks on Bourbon Street. You should check it out. It's hilarious. And that was the only time I was ever at the Superdome.
And what's that URL there?
Oh, the URL? You could check out Brainbuster Radio on YouTube or go to brainbusterradio.com.
There you go. And we just followed you on Twitter. Is it at Sweet. The Brainbusters, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Yeah, we'll give you your shameless plugs. That's all right.
That's why I'm here.
That's right.
you guys are great.
That's right. All right, so then you say you watch the game shirtless, but I'll still ask the question anyway. What jerseys do you own?
You know what? I have two left, and I've said I'll never buy any more, but I have two that I'll keep forever. I have a Franco Harris jersey, which upsets some people because I went to Pitt and he went to Penn State, but screw it. He's so awesome. And I have an Alan Faneca jersey. He was my favorite
player. Oh, I love Alan Faneca.
I played guard in high school, so obviously Alan Faneca was the hero. So I'll always keep my Alan Faneca jersey.
It's crazy how much weight he's lost since he retired. He's running Iron Man competitions now.
And Tough Mudder.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be in the Hall of Fame hopefully soon.
Hopefully. Yeah, I know he was an LSU guy, so we found him. I met him at an SPCA beer event in City Park, and that was he had just started to lose a little bit of his weight, and even then, he looks good. But then since then, he's even lost even more. But yeah, great player.
I got to get on whatever he's doing, working out. I became a fat piece of crap since I moved down to Lafayette.
That's what happens when you move to Louisiana.
Exactly. Everything's fried.
The food is too good.
Yeah.
And the booze are too easy.
And I live right next to a bar. It's impossible.
Yeah, you're fucked. You need to move next door to the gym.
Yeah.
All right, so here, a couple more questions here. One, how'd you find the Dome Patrol podcast anyway?
So I in my head, when they, for some reason, gave me my own radio show, our hosts on the other shows, they've kind of all have the same rotation of guests all the time. You always have the same beat writers,
mm-hmm.
same other radio show hosts. You know, and always it's the same all day long. I wanted my show to sound different. So I kind of started this alternative guest initiative in my head. And I was researching Saints podcasts. Dome Patrol was number one with a bullet.
Boom.
Popped it onto my iPhone, laughed my ass off, and said, all right, how do I contact these crazy guys? And then you guys have been on my show a bunch of times. It's been awesome.
Fantastic. I love it. Yeah, and is it because you wanted a podcaster because that's kind of your – a little bit of your own – you know what it's like to be a podcaster.
Yeah, and I want to do something new. And, I mean, podcasters can – first of all, they're better than beat writers because you're talking. You get a beat writer on and sometimes they just mumble and they're tone and you get people like this. But a podcaster's personality. Podcaster is what's causing all this in 2016. And nobody's thinking about that on the other radio shows. So I'm trying to be a little different, be smarter, be ahead of everybody. And that's why my show's so much better than everybody else's, because I have Dome Patrol podcast guys on my show.
That's right. That's right. And now our show's better because you're on ours.
Oh, you're kind.
All right. So then here's the big question that everybody gets. Should Aaron Brooks be in the Saints Ring of Honor?
Hell no. Aaron Brooks wasn't even good in Madden when he was with the Saints. He was the poor man's Mike Vick when you would be playing Madden with Aaron Brooks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I would try to play with the Saints in Madden when I'd have – because, I mean, usually if I play anybody else, I'm playing with the Steelers.
Right.
But back then, I mean, we got down hardcore. And if I played in any of my cousins, which was most of the time, we'd have to be other teams other than the Steelers. I would often pick the Saints, and I would never win – because of Aaron Brooks. So no.
No. Now, have you been listening long enough to know why we asked that question?
I've heard you ask it before, but no, I don't know the origin.
Yeah, because we probably have a lot of listeners who don't know the origin of why we asked that question, because it's probably been about, 2.5, 3 years ago since we had that
It's probably been since whenever the Ring of Honor happened or went into the Hall of Fame, Saints Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was about that time. But it was like a multi-episode debate between Jason and Damon. So we decided to ask any guest that comes on what their opinion is. I mean, Damon, do you want to kind of explain a little bit of the origin?
Really? You give it to him?
Yeah.
Of course you
will. Well, Jason loves Aaron Brooks. He loves to fondle his nuts. And
this is why I let Damon tell the story.
Jason thinks Aaron Brooks is the greatest quarterback in Saints history. So,
before Drew Brees, he was.
You know, he thinks that you see.
Wow.
Jason is a fucking idiot.
He doubled down on it.
Jason is a fucking idiot. You know?
He's better than Bobby Hebert.
Isn't an Archie Manning a quarterback for the Saints, and he played
for
the Saints?
Yeah, yeah. But again, Jason, look, Alan, I don't. You know, maybe you don't pay attention closely to the show, or at least you don't pay attention when Jason speaks, and I don't blame you, because I don't listen to him when he talks either, because he says stupid shit, you know? Jason says stupid shit. Aaron Brooks is the greatest quarterback in Saints history.
Once have I ever said that. But go on.
But before you just said it. After Drew Brees, he's the greatest quarterback in Saints history. After Drew Brees,
he's got the best stats, and he had the only playoff win to date.
Right, because
he's statistically better than Archie Manning.
Yes.
Well, but you know, but Alan, I mean, look.
Well, all stats he didn't. I mean, after.
It's hard to compare errors. I agree.
Well, Jason doesn't understand that, Alan. He's an idiot.
Right, of course. Right.
You know, he's an idiot. Well, finally you said something correct, that I am right and you're an idiot, you know. And he doesn't like Archie Manning. I'm not sure why.
I never said I didn't like Archie Manning, but
not as much as you suckle on Aaron Brooks's ball.
Well, you see, that's the problem. There's such a misconception here.
But actually, Aaron Brooks is not leading Archie Manning in stats. Aaron Brooks had 19,156 yards. Archie Manning, 21,704.
Oh, okay.
Aaron Brooks, 120 touchdowns. Archie, 115. All right.
Maybe that was it.
Playoff
game.
Archie's got 300 more completions.
Playoff game?
Aaron's got the – yeah, Brooks has the playoff game.
I mean, considering how bad this franchise was and how important that game was, like that one playoff win was kind of a big deal for a while.
Well, but Jason, if you want to give anyone credit for winning that game, you shouldn't give it to Aaron Brooks. You should give it to Akeem. Because he dropped the ball. Okay, because the Rams were about to go down there and win that game.
Okay.
Now again, you're too. You know, I don't know if you're just slow or what's your problem, but Akeem drops the ball. It had more to do with that game being won than Aaron Brooks.
Okay.
If I could make one argument for why Aaron Brooks shouldn't be on the Ring of Honor, is it called?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to limit it to one, you should go ahead. But
I know that this franchise is
all of them. But if I had
the standard, isn't very high for the Saints.
Not before 2006, correct?
Yeah, and you don't need to feel forced to put people in the Ring of Honor. Wait a while; you'll get another quarterback up in there.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm going to pop you.
Don't settle for Aaron Brooks. You're better than that.
That's true. You know, there's plenty of other players of yesteryear that can go in before him anyway.
Like actually, Willie Rofe.
Willie Rofe's already in there.
Point made.
I mean, there aren't a lot of guys that deserve to be in there. Like you said, like you don't have guys in there.
Did Morton get in this year?
He got in last year. That's correct.
But that's why initially when Damon thought Bobby was getting in, I'm like, Bobby ain't getting in. Bobby doesn't deserve to go in. Just as Aaron Brooks doesn't deserve to go in. They don't deserve to go in.
We'll see.
All I can say is I know I'm getting a steak in, 2 years, 3 years? Getting a free steak from Damon, so.
Getting that one. And then we had another 5-year steak bet or something about Drew Brees. All right, we're going to keep going with headlines now. So thanks for that little interruption. Now everybody knows Alan Michael. Get in on the conversation. Get loud, get rude, curse a lot, say inappropriate things. That's what we're all about.
Fuck, shit, ass!
All right, so let's talk about Davis Toll. The hype train has officially left the station.
Woo, boy, did it.
I mean, all of a sudden, he's the next Pat Swilling.
Well, it was funny because when Kakaha got hurt, we mentioned, Toll's one of the guys that we don't know what we've got. he's healthy. Let's see what happens. But then like Nola ran with the story. The Advocate ran with the story. Seemed like last week there were all of a sudden everybody had a story on Tull because he looked good in one of the practices. And then they asked Peyton about him, and Peyton made a comment. So now everybody just, oh, Davis Tull could be the guy. Which, look, I hope he is. He's still an unknown. Let's see what happens when they get pads on. But he's clearly going to be one of the guys that can hopefully take some, pick up some of the slack from Kakaha's injury.
He didn't play at all last year from...
No. He had shoulder injury, and then he played in the preseason, and then he hurt maybe his other shoulder. So it was a red shirt. He basically just sat and learned the defense. I guess when he was healthy, worked out, got a little stronger. But, look, he was a pure pass rusher in college. That's we need a pass rush from somewhere. If he can give us 5 sacks, I think that would be...
Shoot. The way they're talking, he's going to be worth 5 sacks in the first three games.
Look, it's... you can't overreact to OTAs with no pads.
Yeah, we can. That's what we're here for.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but come on, he's in shorts. Don't get your dick hard while he's running around in shorts. Wait till he's in pads. All this right now, all the writing about him, I'm reading this right here. This is the Big Easy Believer I'm on right here, reading about him. And all this is I do this on my show. It's like you need porno music. For how they write about Davis Tull right now. That's all he is. It's a big cock tease. He's explosive. His powerful legs. He's an edge rusher with quickness. And, his feet are never ending. They write about him like he's like a... Well,
all of a sudden, why haven't we been talking about this guy?
Well, they write about him like he got the star in Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, wow, see, that's what's great. The blogs are reaching because these are the dog days for sports talk radio and blogs. So now they're putting up all of his college clips on their website.
Yep.
To get people real excited for Davis Tull. But wait till he's going against, NFL tackles and not whoever the shit this team is he's facing from when he was at Chattanooga. Who the hell are they even playing?
Yeah
don't get excited, but. Someone will step up in place for Kakaha, and I just feel like don't put so much pressure on this poor Davis Tull, especially coming off an injury. Jeez,
right?
Yeah, be thankful if he's healthy. He can give us 4 or 5 sacks, maybe as a situational guy. I would be thrilled with that.
Well, speaking.
Edge rusher by committees, what looks like they have to go, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You got Edebali and Guachem and Tull. Are you pretty much 3 guys?
And unless if some other random dude shows up, who knows whether undrafted or whoever.
Dwight Freeney?
Yeah, we could still.
Fuck Dwight Freeney!
Ah, fuck you, buddy. So yeah, the problem now all the fans are getting hyped and if he disappoints, then everybody's going fuck Davis Tull. you're building him up.
Right.
Just let him look, if he is what he is and if he surprises people, let us be pleasantly surprised by him when it comes. It's like you said, it's the 6 weeks of nothing and people that are
going to manufacture stories.
Well, people have to find content.
Right.
Also, everybody wants to be able to say, oh, I told everybody Davis Tull was going to be the next NFL superstar.
Damon, I guess you have nothing to say about Davis Tull, but I'm sure you have something to say about our next topic, which is the Benson family settlement.
Yes, finally. It all came to a very quick end.
So what happened? They pretty much told PRs to go fuck themselves?
No, I don't think so. Look, if you followed the case a little bit, Friday, a week ago, Mr. Benson and had asked for the financials to be sealed on the Pelicans and the Saints, and the judge denied it. So going forth in the trial, all the financials that none of these professional teams ever put out there. They hold them like it's, the secret for pussy. I don't know. So, because that is the greatest thing in the world, pussy.
How to win pussy and influence.
But anyway, and so they denied it. And I'll be a little conspiracy theorist here, but that definitely had a, that was a win for the three R's, you know, because I know, I have to know that Benson didn't want to put those numbers out there because it doesn't just affect him. It affects, you know, every team of the NBA,
every
team in the NFL, you know, who have to negotiate with states and, you know, cities and municipalities.
Get their stadiums built.
Right. So it wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. Again, I'm going to go off, you know, a little conspiracy here.
Look, I know it's – I agree with you.
What, Jason? You're talking. Go ahead, Jason. Please finish.
Can I finish? Can I finish? Hello? Can I finish? Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
You know, but again, it wouldn't surprise me if the leagues somehow got involved with Mr. Benson, and because it's the agreement is sealed. So we don't know if the league didn't come in and pay off the three R's or, you know, how much Mr. Benson had to give up. It's over now. And all the statement says is that all business is going to be run as usual.
Which then means when he dies, it's going to go to Gail.
That's what we're all assuming. We're assuming that they're going to let him take the but they never specifically said it. They just said they come to an agreement. We're assuming they're going to let him take the non-voting shares out of the trust. But we don't know.
The legal proceedings are over, but the story still continues.
Right. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they, because look, if y'all know, Mr. Benson has never let loose of any of the voting stock, which means he has always been in control of the team no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. That non-voting stock is basically there just, you know, that is a revenue stock. Anytime that Mr. Benson would decide to take money out of the team, right.
It's like my stock in Apple,
right? You know, but
stock in Apple,
right? Right. So it would. I mean, again, we don't know what's happened. We still don't know. They just have come to an amicable agreement, and it's done. And Gail will inherit these controlling interests when Mr. Benson is no longer with us.
And we'll give them to Mickey.
Right. No, he's keeping them. But you know. The good news is the Saints aren't going anywhere, and the three R's can, you know, those greedy sons of bitches
are out of our lives.
Yes. And Mr. Benson's.
It'd be great if they went on to buy their own NFL team in another city.
In Vegas.
Yeah, while Benson's still alive.
And then, of course, Roger Goodell would probably put them in the NFC South.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Vegas team in the NFC South, why not?
Right, makes sense to me.
And, of course, they'd get a Super Bowl before New Orleans.
All right, let's move on to Pelican Plus. Playing to survive, aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win. Yeah, yeah. Pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You
might take we'll a hit nasty ball. NBA first, since the season just ended, Cleveland coming back from being down 3-1, winning multiple games on the road in Golden State, winning for the city of Cleveland, which hadn't had a title. I guess I didn't think about the whole Cleveland aspect, but when the fact that Allen's a Pittsburgh fan, like I get the dislike for Cleveland. But, guy, Cleveland fans have had it bad for 50-some years.
Yeah, so I had a I had a Cleveland kind of a blogger. He's a blogger for SB Nation on my show on Tuesday or Wednesday. What was today? Tuesday? I don't even know what the hell day is. Monday. I had him on yesterday. I had him on Monday and the day after. And I got him to cry. He cried on the show.
Ha! Fags!
He was so emotional. And even as much as I love Cleveland Schadenfreude, I love watching Cleveland lose. I had to give it. It was a special moment. It was pretty rad to see what LeBron did, man. I'll even with all the hate I have in my heart for Cleveland, I'll even give it up to the Cavs. That was awesome.
That last block shot was just
incredible.
Insane, you know. And Alan, I think what you were going to touch on, and I think as Saints fans, we, you know, knew Cleveland's pain, where this, you know, we had no championships until 2009. And, you know, they where we only had really one team to watch fail over and over again. You know, they have the Indians, the Cavaliers, and the Browns.
And not only did they fail, like, they got into position to win and failed on big stages.
Right.
And only, like, and they had, they failed, and plays were just given, like, a name, like, the drive. You know, they always drive after Bynum's, like, the fumble, the drive, the shot, Michael Jordan over Craig Elo.
Right. Just sound like Jason's been watching on Netflix the same thing. I was going to suggest to any of our listeners, if you're on Netflix, there's a 30 for 30 called Believe Land, and it goes into this whole, you know, Cleveland's, again, 50 plus years without a championship. It's very good. Very good, as all 30 for 30s are.
I think it's called Believeland.
Believeland.
Yeah.
Believeland.
And that's, I mean, I watched it because now it's, I mean, as good as LeBron's always been, he's always had his haters. But now, I mean, this, like, winning a title for Cleveland, just, I mean, look, he's, can't say anything about him anymore.
Winning championships in the same season.
Yep.
To win a championship with Cleveland. It's,
yeah, it's almost like it's worth more than one.
Yeah, it is. It's worth, definitely worth more than both the championships in Miami.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then just the thinking of, man, it reminds me of their fans are long-suffering, our fans were long-suffering. Like, it seems like other fans are kind of happy that city finally gets to experience
something.
Something.
That only lasts about a week, and then after that, they're going to want them to lose, you know, because you can have a little success. They don't want you to have lots of success.
But, I mean, just imagine, like, how much, like, just like it was here, it's like they can't produce enough shirts or hats with the word champion on it. I mean, people are going to buy up everything. I mean, we remember all the shit we bought when the Saints won.
I spent thousands.
I think I spent like $300 or $400 on champion stuff. Championships.
Really, that's it, dude. I spent thousands on clothes and shirts that I won't wear because I want them in 25 years. You have to look at them, and on clothes that I will wear, and replica Super Bowl rings and newspapers and copies of newspapers.
I got a friend who's got a replica Super Bowl trophy.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes. You know?
And football cards, and I mean, just
license,
I mean,
dude, plate. You got the commemorative thousand license plate. I know Jake right. does.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I just want to say one thing about. Did you hear Mike Breen's call at the end of the game on ABC when Cleveland won? He said Cleveland is a city of champions once again. No.
Once again.
No. Cleveland's still a city of losers, Mike. Cleveland's a bunch of losers. They were handed this championship by LeBron, the Almighty King, who's benevolent enough to you know, be kind and give these people who burned his friggin' jersey. They burned his jersey.
Yeah.
And then LeBron said, these fans, they're ride or die. Dude, they burned your jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
Ride or die, they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. Well, you go to LA next season, they're all going to burn it again.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, look, the way he did leave was, you know.
It was kind of shitty.
It was very shitty. That's the decision, you know. That was, come on.
It was, you know, ESPN
hand in that. Oh, no doubt. He listened to bad advice. I
think Fred McAfee set that up for him, didn't he?
Yeah, Fred McAfee. Fred McAfee was with LeBron, he would have said, hell no, this is a stupid idea, man. Because Fred McAfee is a great man and very smart.
There you go. All right, then what do you got to say about the Pelicans?
So for the Pelicans, it's crazy. Like, the season just ended. The draft is Thursday. You know, it's such a different thing.
Yeah, football.
Compared to, dude, I mean, how many weeks did we build up? It's clearly different, but how many weeks did we build up the NFL draft? And now it's like holy shit, the NBA draft is this week. Like, I was obviously kind of paying attention because the Pelicans actually have a low pick and we haven't traded it yet.
Right, but you can't compare the NBA draft. I mean, half the people in the first round of the NBA draft don't even never step foot on an NBA court.
I know. I know it's different. It was just like it didn't hit me until like I woke up Tuesday morning and then like, oh yeah, the draft is Thursday. I'm like, oh shit.
Same week of the yeah.
But look, we have the sixth pick. We should get a good player. Dell Demps finally spoke to the media yesterday. First time he's spoken all offseason, and like I hope they don't trade the pick, and I hope one of these wing player, one of these guards, falls to us. You realize Anthony Davis is the only player on the team that was drafted by us. Only one player we drafted, because we've done this trade picks for young veterans, and it obviously it hasn't worked. So I just want to keep the pick. I want to draft a young guard that we can pair with Davis, and it's weird. I mean, this is the first time I've been excited about the draft in 4 years.
Be excited for Buddy Hield, man. That's probably who they're gonna get.
Crazy. That's the guy. That's the guy I want, because he is a baller. He's got stones. He's not afraid to take the big shot.
It's crazy to say, and even like in the same breath, but I mean, he's working out with Kobe. The kind of tournament he had, how he improved his game year by year. I mean, I think he could be like end up being the best player in this draft, and that's a draft with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is going to go to Philadelphia. That's his career is over before it begins. He's screwed.
Yeah.
So I love Buddy Hield.
It's wild. Like, he's getting penalized because he's a senior, and nowadays in the NBA, you just normally it's like, well, if you're still around as your senior, you're not obviously.
Oh,
like,
go like, fuck yourself, what was wrong San Diego.
Look, I agree. I mean, look, Damian Lillard was an older player when he came out. Other than, you know, him and Davis are the two best guys from that draft. You know, but you got younger guys that are being projected ahead because they still quote unquote have upside, but. That's give me Buddy and I'll walk away happy.
Okay, so final thoughts, everybody, before we do. Alan, Michael, are you going to stick with us and talk Game of Thrones after? Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I've never seen one episode. I'm a nerd for a ton of different shows. I just haven't gotten to that one yet.
Not for Game of Thrones. All right. Well, then.
Before he leaves for Game of Thrones, we should see what shows he watches, and because I'm sure we watch some of the similar shows.
Okay, then you want to run. That's going to be your final thought. You want to run him through your show gauntlet and pick a few of your favorite shows to see if he watches.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, go ahead.
Let's do a little final TV talk. What's Alan watching?
What am I watching? Well, I'm currently in an X-Files binge on Netflix. Current shows, I watch Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great one. Great episode last night.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
I'm fine. No spoilers. Silicon Valley, Archer for the current stuff. Old school, I just scored me all the Tales from the Crypt, because that's coming back on TNT, so I wanted to get prepared for that.
Did you watch Mr. Robot?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm all
don't
about
Don't say Mr. anything. Robot. I have not watched it yet.
Okay, because I know it's coming back soon.
Yeah, and actually, last night after Monday Night Raw, they had a cool one-hour special called Mr. Robot Decoded.
Yeah, I saw it on my DVR today.
Yeah, it's all about how profound Mr. Robot is as a television show, because it won a Peabody Award, which I don't know what that award signifies, but it sounds prestigious. And it's a great show.
Yeah, I think it's pretty prestigious from what I can gather.
Is that Peabody and Sherman?
Yeah, it's named after the Rocky and Bullwinkle character.
Right.
Yeah.
The dog with the glasses, right?
And he's smart, so it's obviously a smart show. And actually, when I was living in New York, Rami Malek, he lived in the building next to me and my girlfriend. When they were filming season one, I saw him at the coffee shop like every day.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
He's like 5'2".
Oh, jeez.
They all are.
Yeah, he's tiny. What does that mean? They all are.
Actors.
Oops. Oh, okay.
Okay. New people. What about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Negative. Man, I used to love superhero stuff. Like until I hit my 20s, and then when we just got bombarded with all of it, it's just there's so much content out there, and plus I told you guys I'm watching probably like 20 hours of pro wrestling a week, so it's just hard. It's hard to keep up.
Have you watched any of the Netflix shows like the Daredevil and Jessica Jones?
I haven't watched the superhero ones. Netflix shows though, I'll binge those. I watched that one with
Elsa Lawrence.
Will Arnett, you know the Will Arnett one, Flaked?
No, I didn't hear about that one. I'm going to put it in my queue right now.
It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix show. Yeah, he plays kind of like a cool, but he's a cool guy in Venice Beach, but he's a deadbeat and a drunk. It's pretty good. It's Will Arnett, so you know it's good.
That's perfect for Will Arnett.
It is. Yeah. It's wild how much original content Netflix is pumping out.
Yeah, no. Well, then you got Will Arnett on Netflix. You got BoJack Horseman. Have you guys ever seen that?
I did see a little bit of that when it first came out, and I stopped. Not, I mean, I would go back and watch it, but I just got too many other shows in front of it.
But yeah, there's yes,
it's so out of work
horse actor, right?
Yeah, he's out of work horse. He's a horse man who was an actor on a 90s sitcom. Yeah. And also, speaking of 90s sitcoms, I also have every now and then I'll pop in. That's 80s, 90s, I guess. But I pop in Perfect Strangers whenever I want to feel good.
You mean with Balki Bartakamus?
Balki Bartakamus, yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll do the Dance of Joy at the end of the show. But, okay, this is super nerdy, but this is awesome. You guys have to check this out. There's a website called nothingsgonnastopmenow.com, and it's a... All it is a game where you just use the up, down, left, right on your keyboard and your Balki Bartakamus running through like a dreamland, and the entire time the Perfect Strangers theme song plays. It's the most glorious thing on the internet. It's the best thing. You're on it right now. I hear it. It's the most fun. I used to work overnights at NBC Sports Radio. I wouldn't be paying attention to anything going on during the show. I would just be playing that nonstop.
With Balki, time to chase.
Dream, and you guys, if you type in your dream, Saints win the Super Bowl this season, maybe it'll happen.
Oh my God! And Cousin Larry is playing the harmonica. Oh my God! This is hilarious.
Jeff's gonna be stuck on this thing for like 5 hours
tonight. Yeah, y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I ran into the sheep. All right, I'm going to stop this.
Yeah, there you go.
That brought to you. All right, so in that case, final thoughts, Damon, and then final thoughts, Alan, and then we'll close it up and we'll do some Game of Thrones recap, game recap, after the closing credits.
No final thoughts here.
All right, Alan, final thoughts?
I want to thank you guys for letting me join the podcast today. This was fun as hell. Thanks for always being there whenever I ask you to join the show. And we'll try to talk and force some Saints talk on people during these dog days of summer. And then it'll be awesome once the season starts. I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys and seeing how truly pissed off or happy you get when the Saints lose or win. It's going to be badass this season. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Alan. You can listen to
thanks,
Alan.
Alan. It was great.
If you're in the Lafayette area, is it all of Southwest, the 103.7 The Game, or you can listen online, 1037thegame.com. It's the Alan Michael Show on Monday through Friday from 6 to 11 a.m. Anything else you want to plug? You want to plug the wrestling podcast one more time?
Yeah, the Brainbuster Radio, at the Brainbusters on Twitter, brainbusterradio.com. We also have a 1037 The Game mobile app you could download right to your phones and listen to my show whenever.
All right, well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, go fuck yourselves. Oh, there's also the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, Dankies.
Bye-bye, Golden State Warrior bandwagon fan Dankies.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
All right, and now it's time for the game recap.
Start with the show started with the battle at Marine, which was really awesome with the dragons, releasing the dragons. And Damon, you were right. The two that were in captivity are smaller.
Right. I mean, I guess it's the same, you know, like most reptiles, if you, they will only grow to their environment. So, you know, they were being kept small, you know, in that dungeon cave. Whatever, but it was so awesome. I mean, at the end of last episode, we saw Danny, you know, arrive after the masters had broken the pact and was attacking the city. And then when they get together, and I love, they do this with Danny, I mean, what, at least twice a season now?
They already did it once when she was in the Dothraki tent.
Right, right. She's in a situation against the, you know, arrogant, you know, assholes who demand her to, you know, to leave. They call her the beggar queen, and they just think they have the upper hand on her. And that's, you know, when you think you have the upper hand on her, that's just about when you're about to die. Yeah.
I just feel like it's almost like, did they forget that she has dragons?
Well, they didn't, because they said, I don't know how they were going to accomplish this, but after they told her to, you know, walk out of the city like the beggar queen kid, that they were going to go into the catacombs and slaughter her dragons.
How are they expected to do that?
I'm not sure. And apparently neither were they.
Right.
They didn't plan well for this.
Definitely not. They're arrogance.
Love the way that they killed the two guys.
Well, and I mean, of course you kind of knew when he says, like, once
right.
they... Once they
right.
put him forward, it's like, okay, well, these two are the assholes. But then when they mention he's lowborn,
right?
Like, well, that was it.
Yeah. Right, you know they're gonna do it.
Such a nice swift move by Grey Worm, right?
Yeah,
there.
Loved giving him an opportunity to showcase his talent.
Right, and then when they said, I forget, it was Tyrion or Dany who said,
"Thanks for the shit."
Oh no, it was her when she said, well, apparently we didn't communicate well. If not by surrender, we come to talk about it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Tyrion's line where he's like, you know, thanks for the ships. Our queen loves ships.
Right.
Right. Oh, that was awesome.
And a nice little surprise was seeing they had their little meeting with Theon and Yara. And,
yeah.
You know, they played up the fact that Yara and Dany have a lot in common. They're both women. Their fathers were assholes. They're strong. Yeah. They want to lead their...
He'd be the first queens of their thing. Well,
it was interesting, too, when she mentioned... Well, yeah, our uncles, he wants to marry you. He's going to offer his big-ass cock. He's like, what are you going to do for me? I was like, well, I'm up for anything. He's like, yeah.
Another, you know, cheering moment, you saw the Sons of the Harpy. They were killing the slaves and everybody, and then all of a sudden the Dothraki is around the corner, and they're, you know, that was another one that, you know, finally we get to see the bad guys, you know, get their comeuppance. Loved it.
What's the thing? As we get closer to the end of the series, I mean, look at. We've had 6 years of basically, like, whenever you think the good guys are gonna, they're gonna win. Nope, the bad guys come up and do something.
Right.
Well, now that we're towards the end of the series, like, at some point the good guys have to start winning.
Not necessarily.
But I mean, we're not gonna end this. You're not gonna end the series with the White Walkers winning everybody, right?
I wouldn't think so, but I didn't think that you would cut Catelyn Stark's throat either. You know, I didn't see that coming either.
No, we definitely didn't. But now with the end game in place, I mean, usually all stories end with the good guys winning.
Dany's obviously got the biggest advantage with as much as she's accumulated.
Right, she's got an army and dragons.
Then let's jump over then to the big battle of the bastards. The meeting before the day before the battle, where Ramsay was just cocky and arrogant.
Well, which he should. I mean, he had a bigger army. He had every right to be.
Well, true.
Of course he wasn't going to. And that's, you know, with Jon Snow, it's like it's the net in him. Like, oh, he wants to be honorable. But, of course, Ramsay ain't stupid. Of course he's not. Jon Snow would whip his ass one-on-one, and he would lose his whole advantage. Of course he's going to say no.
But I did like that line, too. Like, well, let's see how you guys feel about you not wanting to fight for him. Although that never came into play.
No. Well, the best line was Sansa when she tells him, you're going to die tomorrow. You know, sleep well, and then rides off. I mean, look, we talked about this last week, and it showed she knew, obviously, Littlefinger was coming.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, why doesn't she tell...
Yeah, so
John, right, she really should have.
Somebody else I was talking to said the same thing, and I was trying to justify it, but I can't. But I was trying to think that she didn't want John, maybe she didn't tell him because she didn't want him to be overly confident. Like, she wanted to be extra cautious, extra safe, just in case they didn't come, or...
I don't think it was him being overconfident. I think maybe he would have disapproved of, because I'm sure, I mean, I don't know how much he knows about Littlefinger.
I don't think he knows anything. He's been up at the wall.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, and the only thing is, she sent the letter. Maybe she didn't get a raven back, so it's not something they could have counted on.
And maybe she was just hoping. I mean, she probably figured, she knew, because he offered his services before, if he got the letter, he was probably going to come.
Right. Right. But why wouldn't he send a raven back? I mean, you would think that would be...
Yeah, it's a letter.
But where was he at? I mean, how could he... Maybe he didn't... I don't know how ravens work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure, you know. If you're in the middle of the woods, can you get a raven, you know?
You've got mail.
But the fact that they showed up when they did, I mean, they were on their way. They knocked him down like dominoes. It was just like...
That was such a great scene.
Also, the scene before where they were doing the Roman...
Right.
...style fighting, where it's like all the shields and the giants swinging at them, and they were trying to break through, and I mean, that was
right. And right. And Jeff, you right. They were pushing Jon Snow's army to try to that hill of bodies, and the Karstarks were on top of that hill of bodies, you know, killing the wildlings and whatever, you know, whoever else Jon had, as they were trying to get up there.
I mean, up to that point, I get, for the story's sake, like, Rickon had to die when Ramsay did his thing.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm yelling, like run diagonally.
Zigzag! Straight line. Serpentine! Right!
Right! Like, what are you doing, kid?
Stutter step! Stop! Start!
Time. Do something!
You.
Because you knew, like, as long as he's running a straight line, eventually he's going to get clipped. And, like, however it was...
Well, that, you know, how many scenes did that kid have? I mean, we haven't seen him in, what, 4 or 5?
No, I mean, that's, look, he really was not a character. We don't know anything about him other than he's a Stark and his name is Rickon.
Right.
Like, that's it. So I'm not surprised he died, and even Sansa kind of knew, like, yeah, he's not going to survive this.
Right. Well, he even as
it's, you know, as it's happening, like, well, obviously he's going to die, but, like, come on, kid, just, he's shooting at you.
Do something.
You know, and then that kind of got him. He died, and then Snow abandoned his previous plans and just said, fuck it, I'm pissed, and that's what got a bunch of his men killed.
And then Jon had to run under the volley of... I mean, once he was where he was, he had only one choice to go forward.
So then they had the battle, of course, and Ramsay, being the coward we all know he is. But by that time, what, he had exhausted all of his men, you know, by the time the Knights of the Vale came. So when he got into Winterfell, I mean, did y'all think that he was going to be safe, that they weren't, you know, that it was going to drag on to next year?
Oh, no. I mean, as long as, you know, because 1-1 was still going, I'm like, all right, 1-1 will get him in. And then, like, there's no way, there can't be enough guys at Winterfell left for him to survive.
No, there were, I mean, all the shortest were the archers.
Especially with the Vale army still being outside, like, if it came to it, like, he wasn't going to make it. So, I mean, I was a little sad to see 1-1 die.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good scene when he's got all the arrows in him and he drops to his knees and he looks over at Snow. And I just figured, all right, he'll just collapse. But then Ramsay had to stick him with the arrow in the eye.
Hey, relax, guy.
Give you one more reason to hate him. Now, was he the last of the giants?
I mean, I guess so, because if there were more, wouldn't you think
You would think they'd be right.
Them?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think. Have I know the one died at the Battle of the Wall, but did they only have two right. in that initial siege?
I thought a couple died at the Battle of the Wall.
Maybe. I knew the one at least died in the
tunnel. Right.
Oh,
right.
I think they only had two, right? It was okay. just two.
Well, they were bound to die off anyway if there were no women, so, you know.
Right.
They weren't breeding with the humans, you know.
Yeah, I didn't see another giant woman out there somewhere.
Right.
Wouldn't that be funny if there's like a whole race of giants somewhere that's...
Well, they had to come from somewhere.
You know? Right, right.
Well, although I suppose the one good thing is that the giant died before the White Walkers could kill him and then resurrect a giant White Walker.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's probably good.
Smart move. I was talking to somebody. They were like, well, maybe they'll bring the giant back. And I'm like, no, we're done bringing people back.
Yeah, no. He served his purpose. He gave him a little advantage for a while. And, you know, it'll save him some of their CGI budget to not have him around anymore.
Yeah, but they were cool. It was fun to watch him fight. You know, they get into Winterfell, and then Ramsay again. I mean, has to be one of the most hated characters, in the series, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody was a fan of his. Nobody wanted him to live.
Right, but I mean, yeah. But I'm talking about the actor did such a great job. You know, and it was a good role, but the actor did such a great job of making you hate him.
Well, and they would throw in little scenes that really weren't necessary, but just additional things that made him an asshole. Like when he killed that wildling. Like they didn't have to show that. The OSHA girl, when they had the scene where he killed her, stabbed her in the neck. Like they didn't have to show that, but they showed.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know,
right.
When he let the dogs out on...
Who let Roose's... the dogs out?
Who? on Roose's certain some wife. Music. And the baby, you know, I mean, he made that despicable that people could hate him.
Right, right.
But it was fun watching. Obviously, John kicked the shit out of him, and then when he saw Sansa, he's like, "All right, it's all yours."
That's pretty awesome, too. That was good, fitting death for right. Ramsay.
And we all figured it had to be kind of
right, but that he got to be there and watch it, you know. So. Do you think that it was her? I mean, I didn't look at it the way you just said, Jason. I didn't look at it that when he saw her, he said, "I'm going to give you the kill." I thought that he didn't want her to see him being so brutal. That was my, you know, take. But
no,
but perhaps...
I think it was because of what he did to her. I think he was going to let her decide
right.
how he was going to die.
No, that makes sense. But didn't he? But wait a second! Didn't he ask him where he was later on?
I mean, maybe just well, he figured once he was done, they figured you know they capture him and put him somewhere. She wanted to know where to go do the final, where to have the final showdown. Is what I took it as. I did like you know when she turned around and walks away, she got this little smirk on her face.
Oh yeah,
I mean she has really changed, and the one. One big takeaway from this whole episode is that Jon still has too much Ned in him. He's not a good leader. He's honorable. He's a fighter, but he's honorable. But in these type of wars, if you look at in the past, who's won, it's the people that were smart about it, didn't care about honor or any bullshit like that. Like, they were smart tacticians. And, you know, Jon should have never fought the battle when he did, and then he... had the anger with Rick and Diane, and he almost screwed that up. And Sansa's like no, I'm gonna do it the smart way. I've learned my lesson. I've seen these bad people and how they operate, and that's what you have to do to win battles and win wars. And she's changed.
Well,
you know, she is playing the game.
Right. Well, does this set up her? Okay, so you're gonna have Daenerys Targaryen in King's Landing, and you're gonna have her in the Iron Island. So you're gonna have a queen, you know, two queens basically. So
and you're gonna have Sansa,
right at Winterfell.
I mean, I guess technically, Bran,
but he ain't come. No one's gonna ever see Bran again.
Oh, I think we will
see him. No, but I don't think he's not coming back to civilization. Is what I mean.
Oh no, I definitely think he. Oh, you think he stays out? And
well, yeah.
Finds, like, a new tree?
Well, yeah. Isn't that what he's the new tree guy, right? That's what the tree guy told him.
Yeah, But does he? Can he not be the tree at the Winterfell tree?
But I thought the Winterfell tree was on the other side of the wall too.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's in Winterfell. It's not on the. It's not north of the wall. Where? So you think he has to stay? He's staying north of the wall the rest of his life.
Yeah, I don't think he can be the Winterfell tree. Did the Winterfell tree have a face also?
It does. Yeah, I thought it did.
I don't know. Every time I saw the tree with the face, I thought it was on the north side of the wall. But anyway, I don't think whatever, you know, when you're the tree guy, you got to. I don't know. You gotta
I guess for some reason I thought there was a possibility that he might warg into one of the dragons at some point.
And ride a dragon?
Or if I mean I don't
he can
I just,
take control with his little mind.
Right,
thing.
He might take control of one dragon because he has that ability.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's I mean, I don't know. I just figured that's a possibility down the line that could happen.
The dragons don't need him.
They know how to kill. If you know, like you saw in this episode, Dany wanted to destroy civilizations, and Tyrion's like, maybe you might want to slow down on that. That's why people hated your dad, because he was a little crazy.
Right.
And I think maybe that's her nature, and she's maybe trying to be restrained a little, but maybe at some point she may just be overcome with power and turn into a new, like, the Mad Queen, and she might need...
Yeah, I don't
think to warg into a dragon and kind of quell that a little
bit. Yeah. Again, none of us, no one knows except the producers what's coming next. I just don't see, the story going that far, you know?
Okay.
Again, you know, maybe, look, I hope, you know, because Martin said that he's done after this, in his next book, it ends, you know?
Oh, wow.
That's what he said, that he, you know, was set
like
out to
write
seven books.
The new book that he hasn't started writing yet, or the one that
he's
still... Okay.
No, the new book that he hasn't written yet.
Okay.
And it will be dead by the time he writes that book.
Yeah, right.
So we'll never get to see
it. He'll be dead.
You're right. Someone else will finish that book. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. But, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, where HBO, do they extend it or do they follow the book? That's, $1 million question.
I think they follow the somewhat, like, the plan that's, I think Martin talked to the producer, said, here's where I kind of see it going.
Right.
But I think it's two more seasons and that's it. I mean, they could try to squeeze it in into one season.
Well, Eve.
Or two half seasons, yeah.
Well, wait, well, this season right now is the book that is finished written but hasn't come out.
Yes.
So next season would be the one that's not written yet.
Well, but you could. But they've done it in the past where they've done one book over two
they've
seasons.
Looped, yeah.
Right.
So
I hope so.
I kind of see them doing two seasons and that's it.
Look, I love it. So that would be an eight seasons.
Show.
That's a good run for a show. That's a good run. That's a good place to end it. I mean, anything else? Like we talked about again a couple weeks ago, you know, about Sopranos ran for a couple of seasons too long. They kind of, at least 10 episodes too long.
But look, also, we say seasons. The good thing is, I mean, these, you know, Breaking Bad was six seasons, but that was six seasons at 16 episodes, whereas these have only been 10 episode seasons. So eight seasons is going to work out to be about the same.
Oh, I mean, look, I still think you have, you know, and there's so much to finish. I mean, this week
I don't want to feel it. I mean, obviously I don't want it stretched out too thin, but I don't want it to be rushed either. But yeah, just great episode. I enjoyed it. Can't wait for this.
Like, it was like a movie. It was just an action movie
some of those battle scenes were like they would show John fighting and then you see a horse coming in the background, but then somebody cuts in and kills that thing off.
I didn't see any horse.
Oh yeah, Littlefinger only showed up with an army, not his horse.
Right,
but just it was filmed just so well.
No, right. When the Knights of the Vale came in and ran through the formation. It was all again. This was the episode. It was the fuck yeah episode. You know, like we'd text. You know, the first 8 minutes, Dany comes in, bitch slaps the Masters, destroys the ship. You know, gets it. You know, Ramsay Bolton gets his comeuppance. It was just the fucking this. You know, this is the episode you wait for all year. You know, like the well, right. You know, everything
like
in the past,
Blackwater, Hardhome.
Right. So, just loved it. Is this week's episode going to be a little? It's going to be a lot slower, I believe.
But it seems like they're going to hit a lot of locale. It seems right. They got a lot of stuff to get to.
Well, and remember, this is the longest episode ever.
Yeah, it's 75 minutes.
I hope so. Look, I mean, make them longer.
Either way, yeah, it's
that's what she said. You know, but you have, you know, what's going on in King's Landing?
Are we
going
to see Dorne in the finale?
Well, right. I mean, I don't think I think Dorne is done. I think they basically. But what do you do the Snake Sisters or whatever they call them?
I think they probably got such bad, like nobody liked them. So let's
it's
just
a shame because supposedly they were good in the books and they just kind of blew it. They're just
right
bad execution on
yeah, yeah.
And look, y'all know, I mean, anyone who reads novels and then watches books or anything about them, I mean, there's always stuff, you know, you have to cut out. It's just, it you know, because of length. And obviously, in a thing like this, in the day we live in now with, you know, Netflix making miniseries and HBO has them, they do a lot more justice to a book than a movie ever could, you know, because you can add so much more, but you still can't add everything, you know.
Right.
I didn't read all the Lord of the Rings books, so what they left out or left in, I have no clue. But again, you had three long ass movies, you know, over 9 hours. So, oh, in case we didn't say this before, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert, if you didn't know. So.
Oh, that's why we put it where we put it. All right, so that's all the Game of Thrones we have for you right now. Thank you, loyal listeners, for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Ramsey Bolt donkeys.
Yo. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I needed to do this song. I'm a nerd. It's a big secret, but I'm a nerd. And I love these books. If you watch it on HBO and think you know what's going on, I appreciate that. The people who waited 5 years for Dance, this one's for you. Check it. Yo. On the real, your boy is a hip-hop player. But for this joint here, I play the role of King Slayer. See toe-to-toe, blow for blow, we can fight G. But word to Jamie, there are no other men like me. This industry is in a roughed-up state. Cats front so tough, you call the bluff they fake. And we all know it too, we just love to pretend. Use my tongue as a sword, slice them with the pointy end. And friends can turn to enemies in an op link. My click together firm like a master's chain link. We got skills and yes, we're so ill. Our brotherhood was formed underneath the hollow hill.